when you've got someone who is your literally ride or die, like when someone commits to you on that level, it's not about like the relationship always being happy-go-lucky. Like it's not about the fact that like, oh, there's conflict here. Let's get it over and done with so we can have that deep connection and go back to being in bliss. It's like, this is a season of Jacob going through a fucking dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold the torch and I'm going to trust that this is going to take as long as it takes. And I'm going to honor him with the truth of my heart as I see fit. And I have to trust. Like, this is the part where faith and trust of self is essential. Because if you try to use a book or a formula or an algorithm or a process to get to where you need to, you'll never break through. You'll never break new ground and create another layer of connection in your relationship. Yo, 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 lovers. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. We're the O'Neills. You're here with Megan Jacob.
And this is the place we have really uncensored conversations about sex, intimacy, and relationships. We're super excited you're here. Enjoy this episode.
Hey, hey, lovers.
Hi.
Hey, lover.
Hi. I missed this.
You have missed this.
It's been like a month since we've podcasted.
It has been, well and truly a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wild month too.
It has been a wild month.
It's been one of those months.
It's been a challenging month of deep transition and deep emotion.
Holding on for dear life.
And my favorite word to describe seasons like that is like gritty.
Yeah.
You know, when you're experiencing things that you wouldn't necessarily choose.
Things aren't smooth sailing, let's say that.
Yeah, it's gritty.
What's been happening for you, my love? Tell everyone your deepest, darkest secret from the past month.
Well, this is going to be a pregnancy Q&A.
Oh, it is.
Because if you don't already know.
Guess who's pregnant?
I'm having a baby.
One of us. We are not pregnant.
Jacob Meg doesn't like pregnant. When people say we're pregnant. I've gone to say it a few times.
Yeah. And it's a lie because you are pregnant.
But it's a strange thing to want to, like, I want to feel together in this. Like, totally. This is a co-creation. So it can feel like when I want to say, like, we're having a baby instead of we're pregnant. Anyway, I'm pregnant. Jacob and I are having a baby.
Yes.
So we're going to answer your questions. But, yeah, let's give a little recap on the last month.
So, deepest, darkest secrets.
I feel like for me, you've been really fucking in it the last probably 6 weeks.
Yes.
And what was most challenging for me was meeting you in that.
Mm-hmm.
And showing up for you in that.
Mm.
And I feel like I did a pretty epic job of it. But there was just moments of, can I go into detail?
I've asked you to speak.
Okay. when your chat, like, and you had some, you know, hectic things go on in your life. And one of the things that can sometimes happen for you is you tap out a little or you become a bit emotionally unavailable. And that
a bit?
A lot in that period of time, which was completely understandable. And this was my practice during that time is that I'm so fed by our relationship and I'm so fed by you and what you bring and give to me and how emotionally available you are. And so it was really challenging to not have that, but to also be walking the line of I'm going to hold space for whatever is alive for you right now. I'm not going to pressure you to be something for me. And that was also really challenging.
Mm.
Yeah. And then we had to have some fierce chats at the coming onto the back end of that season.
And what was the essence of it all for that? I wasn't really, what was I? Not that I like, I'm fully owning everything, but also what do you feel like? What had I forgotten?
That you deserve to be happy.
Yeah. And then I can have fun.
You can have fun.
I was taking life a bit too seriously.
You were taking life so seriously. And again, some challenging things had arisen that had
warranted a seriousness
yeah.
approach to life, of course.
Definitely. you know, we experience death and like all of these different things. And also having the being pregnant was, I don't think it was till we came out of that season of challenge that you probably realized, oh fuck, I think there was part of me that has almost like feels this, I don't know if you'd call it pressure, but almost this like, maybe it is the texture of seriousness because, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a father and I've got to provide and like, da, 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 da.
Yeah, it didn't feel like there was any space for fun because I needed to step into a level of responsibility.
Yes.
And then not having the time and space to really be with that, cultivating that responsibility because so many things happened.
Mm.
In the space of 6 weeks, there's been so many things happen that have been, yes, indeed, like I would argue that this has probably been one of the most challenging periods of my life.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I would say one of the most challenging periods of our relationship.
Definitely. Yeah. And like, yeah, when I become emotionally unavailable, there is a clear disconnection between our hearts.
Yeah.
And that fucks up our sex life massively.
Oh my gosh. Our sex life is like non-existent, non-existent for a little while.
You were really worried, weren't you?
I get, I take that so personally. And I, and this is also like, I feel like a lot of women resonate with me when I say this, when as a deeply feeling woman, sometimes when you're feeling something, there is a feeling of like, I am never not going to feel this. Like, this is going to be my experience forever. Even though, you know, as women, we trust the cycles and we've, you know, we realize that life is cyclical. There can be like this essence of this is my reality forever now, or this is the feeling I'm going to feel forever. And I was really moving through a lot within myself around like around our sex life and around our intimacy. Cause at first when I got, I didn't have a real strong libido when I was in the early stages of pregnancy, I had probably a month where I wasn't feeling that great. And, you know, I didn't feel sexually alive or erotic.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the back of that, you were going through challenges and we were quite disconnected. And so, yeah, my internal experience was, oh my gosh, are we ever going to have sex again? Now we're bringing a child into the world. Are we ever going to have sex?
Is this it? Is this going to be are we never having sex ever again for the rest of our lives? I think your drastic dramatization of things is yes, you're a deeply feeling woman, but you're also like on a...
I'm not deeply feeling, I'm just traumatic.
Both. But I definitely want to tell you that you're wrong in those moments. Be like, can you just like chill the fuck out? Can you not like make this a big deal? Can we just like get through this next little bit?
Yeah.
And that's my like just grind. Nose to the grind. So let's just make it through and come up for air when we've got some space. And that's what I feel is like you're, even though it does feel like overly dramatic to me, who's completely emotionally closed off in the moment, it's, oh, you're here to remind me that this, if we don't address this, if we don't actually like become aware of this, then we're going to just continue down this path.
Yes.
And I speak to so many men in, you know, I just want to like slip a little nugget of gold in here for anyone listening, is that is one of the greatest gifts that you will receive from the feminine, whether that's from your woman, whether that's from your own feminine energy, whether that's from the water, the mother nature, from anything, is like this gift of like, this is what's here now. And if you have someone in your life that brings that, you get to learn how to honor that and integrate that because, like I've said to so many men, if you don't address what's going on, I say this to a lot of men, they're like, oh, what just, you know, I'll get through the next 10 years. And then once we've done, we've sacrificed everything and we'll have gotten to that point, then I can actually do the things I want. And I say, okay, cool. But what if for the next 10 years, you tell yourself, I'm not allowed to have what I want until then. You spent 10 years every day telling yourself, I've just got to do this, then I'll be happy. I've just got to do this, then I can address what's really going on. I've just got to do this, then I can be with my emotions. In the 10, you know, when the 10 years is up, you've created an identity around, I just have to suffer and I never actually get to feel or approach or be with what actually is here right now.
Yep, yep, yep.
And I have the blessing of a woman, a wife, a lover, a mother-to-be that lays beside me every night that does not allow me to go a day without that awareness.
I just have, and this is something I have, you know, activated within me, and this is something I teach other women, is I cannot push things under the rug anymore. I cannot ignore the truth of the moment. And that, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, what do women call themselves when they don't bring that in? What's like for me, or
what do you mean?
Like if a woman feels that like that is too dramatic or that is something that they can't bring to their relationship, what's the belief?
That they're going to be too much.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's the piece.
And the thing for me, I know that part of me is in service to our relationship.
Yes.
So I don't find it a selfish quality.
Mm-hmm.
You might sometimes. And externally, it might look selfish when I want to have a conversation at 10 p.m. at night, or like when you're going through. And, you know, I want to also, you know, bring some nuance in here. Like you were really going through it, and I was giving you space and I was allowing you to be in it. But there did come a time where this was like, okay, this needs to be a conversation. And okay, there's something here that I'm being called into bringing. Like it's the oracle, right?
Yeah. That's emotional.
I'm going to kind of call you on your bullshit right now. You've had your time. Oh.
Yeah. Like that's such a gift for someone who, like for me, who like I genuinely have like thought my whole entire life that I've had to earn my right to be happy. I've had to earn my right to be loved by people, and I've had to earn it through like giving so much, and like the idea of receiving, and like the fact that you're willing to literally penetrate me with your love and refuse to let me hide from it is like illuminating, and it is fucking terrifying. And terrifying means terrific.
I love the way you just put that, like, because feminine energy can be penetrative at times. It can be, and we, like, love can be penetrative at times. And the feminine is in devotion and in service to love. And if we are seeing something for our man and continuing to allow him to play out in that, like, that is not loving. That is not in service to the vision and the entity of the partnership. And I am not giving women right now listening permission to coach their partner. This is very different. This is something, if you don't understand the difference, come into a practice space, come in and work with me deeper, like to understand the nuance of trying to coach your partner because you think you know better than him versus, hey, I'm seeing something or this is the pain I'm bringing. You, what you're being right now, like I see more for you.
Yeah. And that's like the piece that I would say I feel in that is like, I feel your fierce heart, your lioness. It's the, you are the king of the fucking jungle. Don't ever fucking forget that. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to let you play into this story anymore because it is not true. And I will love you and accept you in your mess, and I'm going to be the one that calls you to resurrect.
Yeah.
And that's such a, that there is a risk there for you because I could pull away even more. Like I could literally pull away and be like, well, no, I don't want that. I want to step away from this relationship. Like you almost have to put our relationship, like, well, if you like, this is no longer serving you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to call you to step up. And in this relationship, I'm going to hold that standard for you because I know that's what you're here to hold yourself to.
May I share that? And this might feel like a very vulnerable moment. Do you know?
Yeah, I know.
Can I share that?
Yeah. I want to share everything on this podcast. Okay, I'm so happy. Like that's okay. Everything
that's
else.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
There was a moment, this is really almost like the climax point of our chat, like the challenging month we had. We'd just both had a trip back to your family, which
was horrible,
was really challenging for you. Yep. It brought a lot up, and we came back home and I'd said something where you didn't feel like I was supporting you at all. And you really went into
I reacted.
You reacted, but the reaction turned into more, you were just with what was, it was almost like everything from the last month was just like could not hold itself in your body any longer.
Yeah, I'd reached a tipping point.
And so you wanted to be alone in your office, and because you have a pattern of, I want to do this alone, don't come near me.
I also don't feel safe, like, yeah, around people. To like, I in the past when I've reacted in that way and gone into an emotional, like a season of like an experience of like deep emotional release, people have tried to fix me, or they've like latched onto me and been like, it's okay, don't worry. And they've like tried to like pacify me and not let me actually have that experience.
Yeah.
And I'm also very, very, like, I'm scared. I feel dangerous. I feel, destructive.
Mm.
So there's a part of me that doesn't feel like I don't want anyone to be near me in case I hurt them, or in case I hurt myself, or in case I do something embarrassing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And in that moment, I wanted to come in and connect and find that place, you know, turn this moment of conflict into deeper connection. And you were just like, no, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Which is not something that ever really goes down in our relationship, ever.
No.
We never really say, hey, no. Like, it's usually there might be a trigger there and we might be activated, but we really meet in the moment. So I gave you the space, and then, and this is what we're really talking about in terms of the feminine oracle, like, I knew, even though you were telling me to go away, I needed to be in that room with you.
Yeah.
And so I walked back in, I opened the door, and even though, and again, this is so nuanced because we want to listen to our partner, we want to trust our partner and respect them. But I knew that this was going to be, for this to be a doorway to really deep healing for not only you, but us as a couple, I had to fucking walk back into that room.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, this makes me emotional. I had to bring in that energy of like, no, like, it's safe to let me witness you in this. It's safe to be seen in this. Mm. It's safe to be held in this.
Mm.
And you were literally on the floor, like crying and really feeling deeply. And I just came and put my hand on you and was just silent. And, you know, this was for maybe half an hour in the end that I just stayed. And even when, you know, you were saying, I want to be alone, I just stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. And yeah, it was such a beautiful, beautiful moment when that opening came.
Yeah, that was extremely healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did not want you there. Like, I just so did not want anyone. Like, I was like, no, this is not for anyone to experience but me. And I really wanted to default to my usual, I'll just do it myself.
Mm.
And yeah, I'm sure a lot of men can relate to this. It's like, if I let you see me in this, you won't love me. Mm. Like, this part of me isn't lovable. And that's the gift that you continue to give me, my love, is that you teach me to love the parts that I don't believe are worthy of love.
Yeah.
And that's, that was terrifying for me to give in to that emotion, to like literally give in or like surrender to it and then have you love me through it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was hard.
And I think this is one of the most beautiful things when we have been together in partnership for a long time with someone. You understand their patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And like I knew that you didn't want me there because it didn't feel safe. And you had that story of, this is just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get to witness me in this because that's too vulnerable, or that's, you know, going to affect how she, whatever it is. I knew that. And so I kept reminding you, let me love you in this. I think I was telling you that. Let me love you in this.
Yeah.
I want to love you in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember as a kid, I remember when I'd blown up on the softball field. I think I've told this story a few times, but this is kind of just deepening the story. Is like I yelled at my teammates and stormed off and was a bad sport and was upset. And I remember that night I was in the shower and my mum came in. I was like a 10 or 11 year old boy, like just about to go through puberty. My mum came storming in and just like lashed out at me. And I was like, I was already crying. I was emotional. I felt like a piece of shit. And mum came in and just started screaming at me about how I'd disrespected the family and all of these things. And I was grounded forever and like just completely annihilated me. And yeah, it was like, it's so funny. Like closing the door, being in contained space, I feel safe when I'm like tucked away from people.
Mm.
Yeah. Like I could, yeah, for me, like being in contained spaces away, like where people can't get me is so important to me. Like, cause it's where I feel safe and people can't get at me. And I just, yeah, I think that was the piece that I was worried about. I was like, that you were going to come in and like, because I'd acted a certain way, you were going to tell me that I was wrong for feeling what I was feeling, but you didn't, as you always do. You're perfect. You know that.
I'm really not, but
you are perfect.
I'm good at loving you.
You're very good at loving me.
Mm. Mm.
And I think that's like for me, that's one of the blessings of a longer term relationship. Mm-hmm. When you go through the seasons.
Mm.
And even though, you know, the past 6 weeks I have been in it. Like when you've got someone who is your literally ride or die, like when mm-hmm. someone commits to you on that level, it's not about like the relationship always being happy go lucky. Like it's not about the fact that like, oh, there's conflict here. Let's get it over and done with so we can have that deep connection and go back to being in bliss. It's like, this is a season of Jacob going through a fucking dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold the torch and I'm going to trust that this is going to take as long as it takes. And I'm going to honor him with the truth of my heart as I see fit. And I have to trust, like, this is the part where faith and trust of self is essential. Because if you try to use mm-hmm. a book or a formula or an algorithm or a process to mm-hmm. get to where you need to, you'll never break through. You'll never break new ground and create another layer of connection in your relationship. There's going to be a level of vulnerability and courage and exposure required for you guys to go to that next level. And that's essentially and for me, I'm so good at like doing that when you're in it, when you're in the mess. But when I'm in the mess, I'm like, this is it. The relationship's over. I'm moving back to WeWar. I'm quitting my business. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go back and I'm going to do what I've always done and play it safe because this is all too fucking much.
Yeah. I think those moments, and I really, you know, I think this is part of our purpose in bringing these kind of conversations forth, is that you're right. Like, if you're in a long, like we've been together almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Of course there is going to, life happens.
Yeah.
And I think even more so moving into this journey of parenthood,
mm-hmm.
if we aren't devoted to staying and holding in the gritty moments,
mm-hmm.
if we are just so hell bent on grabbing a hold of the great moments
mm-hmm.
or expecting our partner to be great all the time, like, no. And those moments where life is really happening for one of you or both of you
mm-hmm.
and it feels gritty, that's actually such a beautiful opportunity to root down deeper into the, you know, the roots of the relationship or the roots of your devotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a perfect time to re-devote yourself
mm-hmm.
to this person.
Yeah.
To find it like a deeper texture of your devotion.
And what's devotion if it isn't challenged, right? Like, yeah, devotion requires like courage. It requires devotion is only devotion if it calls you deeper into something. That's like, that's what commitment is. That's what like saying yes to something that you don't fully know where it's going. Like that's what, like for me, marriage is. That's what like a relationship that operates at this depth is. It's saying yes to all of it.
Mm.
And the thing that I've always said to, and I like men are starting to understand this. And what I love about our relationship is like, it's going to ask for a little more than you want to give.
Mm.
It's always going to ask for a little more than what's comfortable for you to give.
Mm.
That's what sacrifice is. That's what it means to make sacred a relationship, a business, a friendship, a meal, whatever. It's going to ask you to give a little more than is comfortable.
Mm.
And that's what I believe is like the journey of life, is to give in a way that you trust you are going to receive whatever it is that you need back.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Okay.
It feels really beautiful to share about that. And so, yeah, it feels complete.
Okay. Should we move on? Anything else you want to bring before we move on to the Q&A?
We moved into a new house.
We're out of that season.
Yes.
We had incredible sex today.
Did we?
We really did.
Yeah, we did.
This is also something that you always remind me when we're in a season of not having as much sex, or when we go to have sex and it, again, it feels gritty, or even last night we had the best day ever and then went to make love and you started tying me up and doing all these things. And then I just got super emotional, and then it just turned into you like holding me and hugging me. And there was a part of me that was just like, why? I just want to be fucked. Why is this happening again? And then you just reminded me again, you were like, remember, this always happens and it always leads to like the greatest sex ever. And we did have incredible sex today.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think being able to ride those seasons of the relationship, knowing that it's preparing you for, you know, more depth, more openness, more connection, more, a deeper texture of intimacy than ever before.
Oh.
We have moved into a new house. It feels really good. This is the house we'll birth our baby in.
We're currently sitting in our lounge room. We've got the podcast studio all set up. You can notice the brick at the background. We have aircon right now. So
I know.
It's a
we're not
beautiful
gonna be
temperature.
Sweating
we're
our
not
ass,
sweating
is
on it and freaking out about the temp. So it feels really good to be landing here. And yeah. Thanks for sticking with us. We've been MIA for the last couple of weeks.
I know. Thank you.
And we're back in action. So yeah, we're going to be dropping in. We've got a few guests lined up as well. I've got a few guests lined up that are coming on in the next couple of weeks. And let's dive into these questions. Hey,
let's go.
That was by far the longest intro we've ever done. 26
okay,
minutes.
If you just came for the pregnancy Q&A, hopefully you just skipped it.
Alrighty. So,
so we've had a bunch of questions come in.
We have. And I'm going to read them out to you to begin with. So is that the first one? Tell us about your preconception journey.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Let's start with that. So my love, tell us about your preconception journey.
Ooh. For me, I feel like we can talk about it physically and then emotionally and spiritually.
I think I'll just talk emotionally and spiritually. I didn't do much physically.
You didn't do much physically. I feel like we've known for like
7 years.
Probably 7 years that we wanted to have a child together.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been one of us having to convince the other. It's always been, we want this together.
Mm-hmm.
We actually thought we were really ready maybe like 4 years ago.
And we weren't.
And we were not. And I'm so glad that we didn't end up really choosing that.
We would have been jumping the gun majorly.
And so it's probably been the last 2 years that we were like, well, since we got married at the end of 2022,
yeah,
we were like, okay, we know we're going to choose this in the next year or so, but we're also wanting to build our businesses a little more. I wanted to prepare my body physically.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that time though. I loved that time between our wedding and, you know, we ended up conceiving or deciding to be ready to conceive January 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And so that time was real. I really loved that time because it was like we knew we wanted to be pregnant, but we weren't open to it, to physically being pregnant.
We were
yet.
Moving
Does
toward
that make
it.
Sense?
Yeah, like we were like excited about the idea of it, but we weren't like, let's get started as quickly as possible. Like,
yes.
Let's actually enjoy the preparation.
We were really conscious about being in the conception phase or the preconception phase. And so for me, that looked like I had some gut issues happening a few years ago. So probably almost 2 years ago, I did a lot of like gut, you know, I did a big gut
reset
with my naturopath and friend Talia. And that was really amazing. And then when I was really sure, okay, in the next 6 months, we want to fall pregnant, I went and got all these bloods done. I worked with Talia again, had some thyroid pieces to kind of clean up. I did a bit of a liver cleanse to support that. I started taking, you know, a bunch of herbs and different things to support myself. So I probably did a good four. I went off coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I started, not that I drank a lot, but you know, I stopped really,
yeah,
you know, having
any alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. Stopped doing other things.
Yeah. We stopped doing any, medicine
substances,
any, alternative medicines.
And yeah, I was just in that, was really preparing my body in that way. And that felt so beautiful. Again, I loved like that, that felt like almost being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm choosing this. I'm not drinking coffee because I'm about to be open to being pregnant. I'm taking all these things. It was just like such, I loved that time.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that time so much. And then, you know, we would talk about it on the podcast. We would share with everyone that, you know, we wanted to be conceiving and this was coming and we could really feel, you know, our child wanted to come through.
Yeah.
But we weren't quite saying yes yet.
And we were speaking not as if it was already done, but it was being like, yeah, we're looking forward to becoming parents. We're excited at the start of the next season of our life.
Mm.
And we weren't holding on to... And we made some decisions where we're like, okay, cool. Yeah, we're not going to choose this right now because we're moving towards this. And we're anchoring down into our businesses. We've made certain moves in our businesses that allow a more sustainable, longer term growth strategy to be available to us.
Yeah.
And that has meant we've had to go through some initiatory experiences with that as well, which has been great. But I really felt like, we were honoring this, I guess, stage before.
Yes.
Really beautifully. Oh, yeah, you were definitely.
And I was very intent on doing the physical side. And I did want you to come along and do the physical side with me. And I'd organized for Jacob, or I'd asked Jacob, hey, do you want to do some blood tests and go do some gut stuff? And you were saying yes for a while.
I paid the money.
And you paid the money to go and see our friend Talia as well to do the gut stuff. And then I just think you got to the point where you're like, that's not actually my way.
I didn't want to do it.
You didn't want to do it.
And I didn't feel the need to do it. Like, I don't feel like I've got gut issues.
And there was a few moments, and some people might listen to this and just be like, what the fuck? Like, if I wanted you to do it. But I reminded you a few times or shared that this was something that I would love you to do.
You bought me tablets.
I bought you preconception things. And you were just not about it. And I really respect that because you were doing your own, like you were very intentional with doing certain plant medicine ceremonies. You did Cambo, which is like a big detox. You were doing all of the things, but just not in the way that I wanted you to.
Yeah.
And my journey was, okay, I'm going to release that. And you get to move towards fatherhood in the way that you see fit. And I trust that.
Totally. And I think there was a part of me that was trying to appease you.
Yeah.
And that's a really gross energy.
No, and I never want you to do that.
Yeah. So gross energy. And yeah, we're different.
Yeah.
Inherently, we are different.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, this is what's true for me. Doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It's just, this is the path that I want to take in. Yeah, like I did, I went and sat ceremony and I tuned into the father that I'm ready to be and the challenges that I know are going to come that I won't know how to handle them and I'm going to have to trust. And also just like cleansing my body of like the Cambo was a real detoxification for me. And I was like, this is how I do it. And I'm not a supplement guy. I'm not a powdered sub, you know, I don't do that shit. And I'm okay with not being like, and I know that there's a part of me that's reckless in that, but that's also who the fuck I am.
Totally.
And
we eat like, we eat organic. We, you know, we put very healthy food in our body. So this isn't as if there was a lot to shift and change.
And I like to have a beer every now and then. Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
For sure.
Like I'm okay with the design of my life.
Mm.
And there was an intentionality that came with like, I'm going to step into ceremony. And like I've already been preparing to the point where like alcohol isn't a determining factor in my life. Mm. It doesn't mean whether I have fun or not. I don't need to be eating lots of shitty food to feel good. I don't need to be consuming a whole lot of it's like I've already created a lifestyle where my body is in a pretty awesome state 95% of the time.
Yeah.
So I was like really comfortable in that. And for me, it was really the spiritual essence of fatherhood. And like for me, it was really creating the acceptance that I get this, you know, it's been a desire ever since I was a kid to be a father. Like that's been like, what I've always just, yeah, after being the eldest of four children, I've been so excited at the idea of having a little human that we get to look after and that is my responsibility, and I have to, and it's going to show me all the things that I still haven't yet seen about myself. Like, I'm so excited about that. So for me, it was actually knowing that I'm worthy of that and that when that time comes, that I don't freak out.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was really conscious of was once I get what I want, not fearing losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And staying in that place of like, oh, this is a blessing. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing that I get. So, yeah, that was the preconception journey for me.
Amazing.
Is there anything else you want to say about that, or are we going to move on?
Move on.
And your body is looking rocking, my love.
Thank you.
You have done such an incredible job of being such a healthy vessel, sexy vessel.
It is. Jacob loves my pregnancy boobs.
They are the greatest.
Okay, next question.
All right.
I'm just aware of time.
Yeah. How have your symptoms been?
How have my symptoms
been? How are your symptoms?
Well, I'm officially 17 weeks now. I feel very, I've had a great pregnancy.
You've been amazing at it.
And I also think a lot of, like, I feel really grateful to have done a lot of the physical preconception work because we fell pregnant the first time we were open to it.
Yes.
Should we talk about where we conceived? Or do we want to keep that to ourselves?
Tell them.
I also just love, like, when, because we were very conscious about wanting to call, you know, wanting to be pregnant and wanting our child to come. And I think so many people have these like ultra spiritual stories of like, you know, we lit the candle, we called in the spirit, we fucked in the male toilets next to the sauna of the apartments that we were staying at with my parents.
Yeah. And it was like wild sex.
We had wild sex to conceive our child.
We just had
a sweaty sauna together. Yeah. And then we were both just like
hungry
for each other. So we locked the toilet door of the male toilets.
Yeah. And went at it and went about making a baby.
So that is how our child was conceived. And yeah, so we fell pregnant the first time we were open to it, which was so fucking great. And I feel so blessed. And then I had a really great first trimester. Like the first trimester fatigue is very fucking real.
Yeah.
Like I was very, very fatigued. But I probably only had 3 weeks, probably weeks 6 to 9 where that fatigue was really intense. And then I just felt hungover for those 3 weeks.
Yeah. I would say
I felt queasy.
Yeah. You just seemed to have like seasickness.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah. And I never threw up, but I would have to like lie down a lot and I couldn't really work much. And I would just have to eat. I was really into pizza.
Yeah.
You're
carb loading.
Multiple times during those 3 weeks, I went out, like I'd be a pole or like doing other things and I'd go and get like a whole pizza and just eat it in my car. Oh my God. I never do that. I never like, and like at home I'd cook pasta and like not put anything on it. It would just be pasta or like pasta and cheese. I never eat cheese.
So unlike you.
Oh my God. And then I got really into those gluten-free English muffins you were buying me.
Yep.
So yeah, the cravings were really real, but I feel after week 9, it literally just, it was like I clicked my fingers and those symptoms all just went away and I started to feel so alive and my energy came back and I felt so great. I felt so great.
Mm-hmm.
I met that, like, it's not strange. It's such a beautiful season or stage of pregnancy where I'm like, I'm not really feeling any kicks or anything yet or any kind of movement yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also just feeling really energized and like my normal health. So it's such a, it's a really interesting time. It's like, I can feel the eagerness of like, I want a bigger belly and I can't wait to like feel things. And just that, like, yeah, the eagerness is really exciting.
Yeah. It feels like we're in like sort of that lull stage. Like it's like, oh, you're pregnant. Yep. You've had the symptoms and now you're feeling good again.
Yeah.
Boobs are looking great. There's a little bit of a bump.
Yeah.
But I feel like then in the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks that it's all going to sort of, yeah, really, really be real.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know what the next questions are because, yeah, let's go on to the next question.
Next question,
sure,
eh?
I'm sure what I want to say will come through.
So, very curious about the choice, if any, of those who will accompany your delivery. Or did you want to talk about how are you navigating through the changes?
Let's do that one first.
Okay, cool.
Because I think that also weaves into our choices during pregnancy.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm choosing and we're choosing what some people would call a wild pregnancy.
We wild.
We wild. So I haven't seen anyone. I haven't been to a doctor. I haven't got a blood test. I haven't
had any scans.
I'm not getting any ultrasounds. I'm opting out of really being a part of the medical system. Because for me, this isn't a medical event.
Tell him.
Well, for me, that's what I'm choosing. I'm choosing that this is not a medical event, and I do not want my pregnancy to be medicalized. So, yeah, I'm just growing a baby. I'm living my life, and I'm growing a baby.
You're doing the most natural thing that a woman does.
It really feels like that, and you know, I know this. There's a question around this coming up, but I have never felt, and I haven't had a lot of pushback from that, but I'm very open in sharing that with people. And I've had some people close to me question, like not getting scans or question certain things. And I have never felt so fucking fierce and unfuckwithable, like so certain in my choices.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could come at me, and some people are coming at me online with certain things. It's like, come at me. You could come at me with anything right now. Mm-hmm. And that is not going to shift the way I feel about the choices I'm making in pregnancy and birth.
Uh-huh.
And that feels so fucking good. There is a fierceness I'm activating as a woman right now that I haven't felt the degree of fierceness in my body before. The degree of like, and there's no other word for it, but like withableness, right? Like no one can convince me otherwise. Like no one can wobble my belief in and trust in my baby, my trust in myself, like trust in life.
Mm.
And that feels so fucking good.
There's a deep, like what I'm hearing in that is like, it's this deep knowing.
Yeah.
And with that deep knowing, it's like, we are willing to meet whatever is here.
And it is like, you know, I've also been listening to lots of podcasts, and I'll speak about our plan and decisions around birth in a moment. Where was I going with that? What did you say?
Deep knowing.
I was really going to go somewhere then. And
you were.
And then I've forgotten.
I said that this is really a deep knowing for you, and that like, and that you're choosing this from a place of like, I can't remember either.
I don't know. I was going to go somewhere really fierce and then I forget. But yeah, I do feel a really deep knowingness, and I'm so solid in our decision. And yeah, right now, so, you know, for the rest of our pregnancy, I plans on being wild. We're not going to have any, it's going to be an unassisted pregnancy. I'm not going to have any scans or, and this links into our birth choices. We're having a medically unassisted birth. Our plan is just to have you, me, will Django be there?
No, he will be in another room.
Okay, definitely. Maybe someone will come and get Django.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'll be Jacob, me, obviously our baby, and a birth keeper or a doula who we haven't. We're having some meetings right now with some women. I have a really good feeling about one particular woman. And that feels really fucking good.
That's it. We get a pool.
We'll have a pool. Yeah. I think we'll give birth here.
Yeah, in this room.
And then who fucking knows once it's happening where I want to give birth or what the feeling will be. But
this is like, this is an... One of the things that I've said to a few people that have asked me about, I was like, we're not going to all of a sudden change our views.
That. I'm so passionate about this because we don't. I went to the hospital recently because of an emergency.
Yeah.
Because I cut my toe open. I do not see a doctor usually. We do not use medication.
Mm-hmm.
We do not, like, why am I suddenly going to be growing a baby and go into a system I do not partake in our regular day life?
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
And
I'm not, and I just also want to preface that I'm not saying that is system is no other woman should partake in that. Do what feels good. Do what feels in integrity with you. But that's not integrity with that. That's not an integrity with our life.
And the funny thing is, like, and this is the beautiful paradox of how we live our life, is that when we do go and engage with the hospitals, we have such incredible experiences. We get the most amazing humans who are doing amazing work in those spaces, who are deeply respectful of us and our perception and our views.
Yeah.
And they are so deeply of service in their own right. Like, we had such an amazing, you nearly cut your pinky toe, half of your pinky toe off by
I really did
kicking the wall.
And I went in and I said to Jacob when we're in the car, I said, hey, and I was like almost blacking out from just like, oh my gosh, having kicked my toe. And I just said to him, hey, I think we're going to probably have to advocate for ourselves or for me a lot during this once they find out I'm pregnant and I haven't had any scans.
Yeah.
And they were so great. And it was also, I know I cut my toe open to have that experience of being able to say no. Like, we went into emergency. They wanted to give me an x-ray. I said no. They wanted to give, they asked me, have you confirmed your pregnancy? Yeah, I know I'm pregnant. I peed on a stick and I'm also, my belly's growing. Mm. Oh no, but have you confirmed it?
Yeah.
What do you fucking mean?
Yeah.
And I get what they do.
And for them, like, confirming is the blood work,
it's
right?
The blood work that's the scan.
The system that they have. And they were like, and we're like, oh no, we don't want to do that. And they're like, oh, that's okay. We don't need to do that. And they're like, cool.
And they were great. And then I didn't want, I said no to any, I said no to all of these things. And they were so respectful. And I think that is, I don't hold, I'm not righteous in, and I hope people don't feel the righteousness in me, but I just know these are my choices and I'm not going to make you feel wrong or like, oh no, of course I'm not getting a scan. But like, yeah, that was such a beautiful experience to be in a hospital setting and to advocate for myself with such ease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I, you know, we are not against, we are not for or against, we choose what our path is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do engage with, you know, even when you had your appendix out a few years ago, and whenever we've been into the Western medical system, we've done it due to an emergency.
Yeah.
And we've been supported and we've received like incredible support, incredible humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a really great experience for us.
Yeah.
So I just want to honor that. Yeah. What we're choosing is we're choosing because that's what we deeply know in our bones. And we also trust and respect everyone else's choices and the path that they choose, because that is your choice.
Yeah.
Aho.
Anything else we want to say about our plan to birth and the wild pregnancy?
I just know that this is an initiation. This is a rite of passage for you, and that we're not going to, like, we both want the full experience. We want to be with every moment, every breath, every sound, every sensation, every smell. We want it all. And that's, you know, we're here to live our life through our body, through our relationship, through our, you know, our devotion to the moment. And this is, you know, to do it any other way would be to approach this any other way would be dishonoring, you know, what's true for us.
Yeah.
Mm.
I also just want to say my original plan was always a home birth, but with a midwife.
Yes.
And then once we became pregnant, I reached out to a particular midwife and she didn't get back to me for like a month.
Yeah.
And in that time, I found a podcast called the Free Birth Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard of free birth. I'd watched free birth videos, which is basically a woman birthing outside of having any medical attendance or any, you know, any trained medical person there. And I always had planned on free birthing, thinking that, oh, I was only allowed to free birth for my like third or fourth child.
Mm-hmm.
Not for having four children, but like after multiple children, I was like, oh, women don't do that. I'll have a midwife, my first child.
Yes.
And then this midwife took a month to get back to me. And in the process, I binged all of this free birth, like not all, but a load of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not deny that's what I was being asked to do.
Yeah. It was just, yeah, it was very clear.
And I said, and you know, I'm not technically having a full free birth of just you and me. I'm going to have, you know, a woman who's free birthed herself and, you know, is working as a birth worker now, in this space. But, oh, and this is what I was going to say before that I'm going to circle back to.
We're circling back.
But yeah, that it just became so clear that like, this is what I'm being called into. It wasn't even me choosing it. It was like, this is what the baby is asking for. Mm-hmm. She does not want a fucking midwife there. She does not, she wants you and you know, you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that just felt really powerful. And like, again, this is where I'm feeling so unfuckwithable in this pregnancy is that.
We've got a little friend here.
What's the little doggy doing?
I'm going to let him out. You keep talking.
Do you think he needs to pee?
Yeah, I think he might need to pee.
Yeah, I'm just feeling so, yeah, the clarity in that, in like what I was being called into felt really powerful. But what I was going to say before is that, I think choosing this wild pregnancy and choosing the way that we want to birth, I'm also aware that that's me being super fucking sovereign. And with sovereignty comes responsibility. I'm very aware of that. I'm very aware that I'm not outsourcing any of my decisions or any responsibility to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on me. And that I've been preparing for that for a very long time. Not even realizing, but really knowing that the way we've lived our life,
mm-hmm.
and how much we've extricated ourselves from giving other people, handing over our responsibility,
mm-hmm.
is really, yeah, it's preparing us for this moment.
It is. It is, my love.
Okay, next question.
Next question. Ugh. How are you navigating through the changes in identity from maiden to mother?
I think I've already like basically answered that.
I really feel like you've answered that. Yeah.
I actually want to circle back to when we spoke about, we knew we wanted to have children for a while. And even mm-hmm. with that knowing, probably 2 years ago and then before that, I knew I wanted to become a mother, but there was a terror around becoming a mother. Mm-hmm. And I almost think that was the maiden energy of being terrified to lose my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd created such a life of deep freedom
mm-hmm.
that for a long time, again, even though I knew I wanted to become a mother, there was such terror because I just wanted to be able to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. I wanted to be able to, you know, I didn't want to suddenly be tethered to something and mm-hmm. the responsibility really, it wasn't scared me. It terrified me.
Yep.
And that really shifted a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was my own inner transition of that energetic of maiden to mother that suddenly I saw what a portal that responsibility can be to everything I desire.
Mm-hmm.
That actually this like, oh my God, I just get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. Like, that's not actually what I want for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I want to find more of myself through responsibility. I want to find more of myself and more of my depth and more of life through being tethered to something
mm-hmm.
and being devoted to something and having someone or something rely on me so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really shifted for me a few years ago. And it was felt like a maturing. Mm-hmm. Even in my business, like no longer just being like, I just want to like do as little as possible and make as much money as possible. I'm like, I want to be a fucking teacher that's known for fucking something. And I know that comes with such a depth of responsibility and I will mm-hmm. choose that and root down into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, yeah, shifted my view of towards motherhood. And then like whilst being pregnant, there's again, just this fierceness that's come over me and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to birth. I'm so excited for the initiation of birth and motherhood. The initiation of pregnancy even so far has me feeling so fierce.
Mm-hmm.
Like I cannot imagine who I'm going to be on the other side of that.
Yeah. And what I've really noticed, like, is that level of like willingness to be responsible, like mm. that level of like, yeah. And this is something that I've noticed just you with our dog Django, like
mm.
the fact that, being responsible for something allows us to live like it's another relationship that amplifies the love in our lives
mm.
and brings more of us alive.
Mm.
And like, even like, yeah, having our dog in the house, it's created such a whole, yeah, you, it's a whole nother level of presence. Mm. You can't leave chocolate on the bench. You can't leave you can't leave things on the ground because he'll eat. It requires you to be so much more present and aware. And then from that, you get to have this whole new relationship. And I've, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm just so excited for that to happen for you with a child. Like the whole journey of like, yeah, like you said, motherhood, you get to go through the initiation of birth. Like you're getting to experience that. So I'm super excited for you, my love. Mama. Little mama.
Do you want to share anything? I kind of skipped over before like our choice. Do you want to share any of your feelings on our choices? And if that's been, and if anything's come up for you, because it's been me going, I'm having a wild pregnancy. I'm not letting anyone touch me. this is the way I suddenly don't want a midwife. Do you want to just share a little bit? Because I'm sure some people are intrigued.
I believe there are a lot of men who let their fear trap their woman into decisions that aren't true for her.
Mm.
And I know that. And I know that a lot of men are scared to hold their woman through or hold space for their woman through this initiatory sequence because they haven't been initiated correctly themselves.
Mm.
So an uninitiated man cannot hold a woman through the deepest initiation of herself. And this is why, fuck it, I'll say it. This is why men rely on hospitals for this. They rely on other, they outsource their responsibility.
Mm.
And, you know, yeah, it's vulnerable for me to say, yes, I want to be in the room and hold you through this. And that exposes me to full responsibility for whatever occurs in that experience. That means that I have to be okay with whatever happens happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there are a lot of men who haven't been initiated or haven't been through an initiatory experience that's appropriate and right for them to be like, hey, I trust you. I trust your body. I trust what nature has created.
Mm.
I trust, you know, that you are capable of doing the thing that you are inherently designed to do as a woman.
Mm.
And this modern landscape of gender and all of this stuff, don't get me started. I don't want to say anything too righteous. But yeah, we've created a lot of confusion and we've lost the essence of what it really means to be a woman and what it really means to be a man, especially in regards to people who are choosing to step into a monogamous heterosexual relationship.
Mm.
Like it gets to be sacred. We get to honor these moments and really embrace them. So for me, this just feels normal.
Mm.
The other way feels not abnormal.
Yeah.
To go and give other people the responsibility doesn't feel right, considering that the last 10 years of our life, we've been developing a sense of sovereignty around our inner knowing, around our bodies and around what we're choosing to do with them.
Mm.
So yeah, this all just feels, this all, when you shared all of this, you know, the only thing that I was a little bit hesitant of was like, oh, I really want to actually be mentored by a woman who's done this, like a birthkeeper who's been through this rite of passage, and actually have someone that can mentor us and guide us on this and not just do it from that righteous place of we know better.
Yeah.
So that was the one thing that was a requirement, was like, we need to have someone in our corner that's done this that can guide us and answer the questions that we have and steady me when I wobble.
Yeah.
Because once again, yeah, this is going to be an initiation for me, actually allowing you to go through what you need to go through.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oof.
Oof.
Okay.
All righty. Last questions. How do you think having a baby will impact your intimacy? Well, we're going to be co-sleeping. We have a little baby in the bed.
I know.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
I think it would be naive to say it wouldn't. I think, of course.
It's going to majorly impact.
It's going to impact it. And I also think it's going to deepen it.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, intimacy is so much wider, deeper. The breadth of intimacy goes far beyond you putting your cock in my pussy or in one of my other holes.
I love all the holes.
So I think our intimacy will deepen and our intimacy will be so fucking strong.
Mm-hmm.
I know it will. And I know, you know, of course it's going to be challenging. Of course there's going to be moments. Our entire life is about to change. And I'm so aware of that.
Yeah.
And I really, truly believe we, our intimacy and how much we see each other and hold each other and feel connected to each other is going to literally amplify beyond anything we've ever felt.
I feel like we're probably going to like take a shit in front of each other. Like,
yeah, that probably, we don't do that, guys.
We're not into like, that kind of like shitting in front of each other.
I'll pee in front of you.
Yeah, we'll pee, but like, I feel like we're going to get to know each other on a deeper level in that way.
Yeah.
One of the things is like, oh, like I need to take a shit. You're in the shower. Like we have, like, this is the, we're going to have to reconcile this. This is happening.
I love that. That's why you took that question.
I feel like we're going to surrender a little more to the mess of life. But at the same time, we've built a life that we get to choose how we spend our days. Like we've been working towards a life where I don't leave to go to work somewhere, where you have, you know, we're building businesses that are of deep service to humanity, but also allow us to live a life that is really, truly great. And, you know, regardless of what happens when we have a baby, we're going to meet life and be drawn deeper.
Mm.
And our intimacy isn't determined by the number of times we have sex each week.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though sometimes...
Sometimes I think it is.
You get a little worried about that. But at the same time, we're always focused on the quality of our connection, the quality of the openness of our hearts and whether that channel is clear. So my devotion to you is to keeping the channel clear and knowing that who do we need in our community to support us as we, you know, take on a higher level of responsibility? Who can we ask for support? Who's going to be there for us? And that's, you know, another vulnerable practice of like, who can we actually let in?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then maybe we answer that question from a sex point of view as well, because I think that's where that person was going with that as well. How do you think having a baby will impact, let's just say, your sex life?
Yeah, it'll impact it majorly.
Mm.
Yeah, you're going to be birthing a child out of your vagina.
Mm.
Like there's going to be like a season where like, I believe like there'll be a season where like you will be, that there'll be an extra sensitivity around your genitals, and there'll be like this, you know, even last night or yesterday we did the erotic blueprint quiz, and it's like, oh, like learning how to actually energetically orgasm and do things like that. And like actually not rely so heavily on the genital stimulation and like explore different ways of engaging in sex that I think will allow us to have a broader landscape.
Yes.
But I also think we'll probably have to start to schedule things in a little more.
I think that.
I have to have like sex time.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the calendar.
During baby nap time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll have to be a lot more like structured.
Baby nap / BJ.
Jesus. Yeah, I think my thoughts on that is like intimacy and also sex is really important to us.
Yes.
And so even though we're going to be honoring the shifts and the changes, we are not going to let that suddenly become a non-existent part of our life. Like we value that. That's important to us that will be, even if your cock has not been inside my pussy in weeks, this will be a part of our conversation. We will be touching, we will be connecting. Like we will be creatively feeding that part of our life no matter what unfolds.
Aho.
I'm sure of it.
Definitely.
Okay. Final
last question.
Yeah.
What are the top parent qualities you see in each other?
No doubt. What I see in you is patience.
Yes.
Like your patience is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited. Yeah, I just know I can see it. I can see you with our children, not just like our baby, but I can see you with all of our future children. Like when they're 5, 10, 15, 35, like just the grace and the patience you offer them.
Mm.
And I'm on the receiving end of that every fucking day. And I know it will be turned up another fucking level for our children. And I can't wait for that.
Thank you. Like one of my intentions is to really help them understand life.
Yeah.
And like take the time to help them understand and field their questions. And like, I'm so excited about that stage of like helping them understand the rules of life, understanding different things and giving them the space to explore and just really just being that container for them to feel safe enough to ask the questions that they want answered and also feel safe enough to engage with the experiences that they want to have. And like, that's a really important for me to know that they're supported and that I'm going to be there helping them understand boundaries, helping them understand expression and like just fully giving myself and like letting go of what, you know, what it needs to look like. That's I've been sitting in contemplation around that quite a lot in the last few weeks around like letting it be what it needs to be.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you like me to share the top quality I see in you? I think you just like love, but like when you're like you like drench people with your love.
Mm.
And you just give yourself to the moment. Like you give yourself to someone and it's like, it's almost, it's almost uncanny the way that you do it because it's like there's no barriers. There's no walls up when you love someone. And I just imagine you, like even watching you, we went home to visit my sister who's recently had a baby boy. His name's Finley. And just the way that you, like you did not hesitate. Like you were constantly like, in the space, loving him. I came down, I went up to have breakfast one morning and I came down to get you and you weren't in bed, like you were in bed when I went up and I came back down and you weren't in the room that you were in. I walked out of there and walked into another room and you're laying in bed with the baby by yourself and Eliza's gone to have a shower and you were like asleep with the baby.
I was like spooning the baby.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, you don't let rules stop you from loving. You don't let this, you know, oh, is this a little too much? You just love and that, like our baby is going to be so loved. Yeah, our baby is going to be so loved and looked after and like, I just know that you're going to just like, yeah. And I'm just your affection. You're so affectionate, and you are so, you're so playful. And the, you know, so many children love you because of that. And I just know our child is going to have this the best time growing up in this household because of you.
I know.
And I can't wait to like. I just can't wait to do all of the. I just can't wait to like stew apples and like.
I feel like we're just going to live this once our baby comes. We're just going to like anchor into such. Deep simplicity. Yeah. I already feel that being in this new house. But yeah, I just feel like
I think I'm going to sing a lot. I think I'm going to be very joyful. I think there's going to be a lot of moments where I'm like standing, I'll do something and I'll just break down, cry. I'll just be like, this is it. This is everything. Yeah.
You're going to turn into me.
I think I'm going to turn into you. I think I might have a season of Meg.
I do that all the time, guys. Mm. I'll just like look at Jacob and be like, just so happy.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to being grateful. Like I'm already grateful, but like I just know that this is a big part. Like, this is something that I've desired deeply, and I feel so lucky already. But like having, you know, I feel like it's going to bring a whole new level of meaning to every thing that I do. Mm. And knowing that you're looking after our baby, and that you're feeding our baby from your breast, and that you're holding her and guiding her and we think it's a girl. We're certain it's a girl. just knowing that I deeply trust you to love our baby in the way that she needs to be loved. And that's going to allow me to just like serve even more deeply in my work and create an even more healthier, happier, more simplistic lifestyle in our home. So yeah, it's going to be big.
It is going to be big.
And beautiful.
I'm so excited.
Mm.
I was just going to share before when we, when you were talking about our child's going to have so much fun, like kids love us. Like, like children will just flock to us.
Yeah.
And we were at this cafe yesterday near our new house and we were sitting down and we had the dog there and like these four kids came over and they all knew each other. And they just started playing with Django. And then they literally sat at our table.
Yeah.
And started having, they were with us for half an hour, I think.
Easily.
And I told them I was pregnant. And then they were asking me what I'm going to call it. We were talking baby names. Mm-hmm. They were telling us about their love life.
Yes.
These 7-year-old girls, they were in love.
They were deeply in love.
I fell in love at 6. I'm still in love at 7. It was so cute. And I love, like, that was my favorite moment of yesterday.
Yeah.
Me, you, talking to those children, just like asking them questions. I love how curious children are. Like, I'm just so excited that that gets to be like amongst everything. Again, I'm also aware that it's going to stretch me in ways that I've never been stretched. And the all-consuming nature of parenthood is something that I know that's going to be the most challenging thing for me. And I'm sure for many people. But I'm also just like, I'm so excited for those moments. Just like the moments of just like pure, simple love.
The thing that you, like you said before about like patience, and I think like patience and presence like create this energy of not being in a rush to get anywhere. I think that that's what children love about us. It's like they came over and sat with us, and it's like we were going to the beach. Like we had the dog. We wanted to get to the, we had somewhere to be.
We were about to get up.
Yeah, we were literally about to get up. And then these children, and it's like, oh, this is what.
And I think, the parents were like, just leave whenever. Yeah. We're like, we're having a good time.
And I think that's like, I think there is an important, you know, level of structure to have in your life to pay the bills and make sure there's fuel in the car and that things, you know, happen the way they're meant to happen. But there's also this beautiful surrender. And it's not like a surrender to letting the universe do whatever it wants, but it's like when something presents itself and is asking you to, I guess, pivot or maybe let this moment look a little different than what you thought it was going to look like based on your expectations. That's when like magical moments happen. And it makes
sense. It's like we say in relationship, it's like, can we trust the truth of the moment, or like, what's the truth of the moment? And I think that's going to be something that's so deeply our practice in parenthood.
It's like, get that cross stitched.
Yes. Oh my God, cross stitched on our new brick walls.
Might start cross stitching.
But that would be like, that is going to be such a deep practice of like, what is the truth at the moment? Oh, we thought we were going to go out, or we thought the day was going to look like this, or I thought I was going to get work done. What's the truth of the moment? Our toddler's having a tantrum and really needs our attention, or, you know, our baby didn't sleep at all last night. So now whatever it might be, but like, yeah, I'm really, again, I think there's so many things that we've been practicing in our own relationship, in our own life, that will be skills that we just anchor more deeply in on our journey as parenthood.
Definitely.
And I'm really excited to parent with you.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're doing it together.
I'm so excited to see you as a father.
It's going to be a very emotional experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any final thoughts before we close up?
I'm just glad to be back, baby. Yeah. Glad to be fucking back. Feeling like there's
like back on the podcast, but I think you mean back
on the podcast, back in the driver's seat, back in an energetic aligned state. I feel like, I feel like I have purpose again and that life is flowing, and yeah, I'm ready to fucking serve. I'm ready to do some big fucking things. I got some incredible stuff coming up for men. We're doing a facilitator training where I've got a really deep initiatory retreat that I'm running for high level leaders with a brother who's coming over from Peru, which is super, super exciting. Been chatting to him today. And serving men deeply one-on-one and in my group programs. And I'm just, ready to fucking show men how to lead like absolute fucking savages.
And where can men, do they just come to you?
Just shoot me a message on Instagram.
And I'm taking on my final one-on-one clients.
You are?
The year. Before I give birth in September, October, whenever the baby chooses to come. So if you want to work with me, this will be the last one-on-one clients I take for who knows how long, at least 6 months, maybe 9 months, maybe who knows.
Maybe forever.
Who knows who what's going to happen, whatever, baby. So if you want to work intimately with me one-on-one, shoot me a DM over on Instagram at the.meg.o and let's make some magic together.
Aho.
Thanks for making magic with me right now.
Hell yeah. We're back, baby.
Thanks for being here, beautiful ones. Bless we'll up. See you next week.
Big love.
Bye.
Peace. Yo, yo, yo. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at @TheJacobO'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At @the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.